Good morning. I would like to remind everyone that we are continuing with our series in James, picking up where we left off last week in the fourth chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 13 to verse 17. Well, today's text is an interesting text. It opens with a reproof. A reproof towards whom? A reproof towards those of us in the body of Christ who have unwarranted confidence, overconfidence about the outcome of our plans for the future. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. So here in our text, the Apostle James addresses certain people in the church who were devising plans for themselves, which they were sure would be profitable. The example he provides is of these merchants who are boasting about their plan to travel to a certain town, conduct trade for a year, and make a profit. These merchants express confidence about their plans, confidence that their plans would profit just as they intended. Are we, perhaps, anything like these merchants? We're intent on some goal of ours, but we know it's going to take some time and effort to reach that goal. So like these merchants, we devise a long-term plan. We map out our entire year or even more in pursuit of that goal. We share with our friends and loved ones that we will go here and do this, and then we will go there and do that. And when all the stages of our plan are complete, the result will be profit. Our plan may be well thought out. Our plan may be quite practical. We're not shooting for the moon. Every step of our plan is well within our abilities to carry out. All we need to do is put into work, persevere over the upcoming months or years until each step is fulfilled and we are confident that the goal we are pursuing will be ours. Well, if that describes us, in many respects, we are just like these merchants during James' time who were saying, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. We're confident about the outcome of our carefully devised plans. We're sure that when all is said and done, our plan will result in profit, even tremendous profit. What does the Apostle James say to such people? Once again, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. He, in effect, tells them, you're so confident about your plans. You presume to know how your future will turn out, even a year from now. Yet you do not know what will happen to you tomorrow. And if we're anything like these men who are so confident about their plans for the future, well, today the Word of God reminds us, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. How can we be so confident about the outcome of our plans? Of course, it's wise to plan. We should plan. But how can we be so certain that our plans will succeed? We don't even know what tomorrow will bring. Tomorrow may bring a considerable change in our circumstances. Tomorrow something may happen to us which would force us to scrap our plans. In fact, as our text so soberly reminds us, we may not even be alive by the end of tomorrow. So to those of us who tend to make assumptions about our future, the word of the Lord asks us to consider this incredibly vital question. What is your life? Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? Have you ever considered that question before? What is your life? How will we answer that question? Well, we may want to answer that question a variety of ways, depending on our circumstances. But there is one answer that is true for all of us, regardless of what our circumstances may be. What is that answer? What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. There's the answer. That answer is true for everyone, no matter what our background may be, whatever our circumstances may happen to be, good or bad. What is our life? You are a mist. A mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Our life is a mist. Our life is transient, temporary, ephemeral, like the morning fog. Here for a little while, and then gone. Have we ever considered how tenuous our lives are? We are so fragile. A small misstep down the stairs in the morning. A poor split-second decision on the road as we drive through rush hour traffic. A little illness, a little infection that gets out of control. A minor mishap with our heart or our brain or some other vital organ. A momentary encounter with the wrong kind of person on the street. And our life on this earth is over. We are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. It's solely on account of the providence of our Lord that such brittle, fragile creatures such as ourselves have lived for as long as we have. Each day we live is entirely owing to the will of God. And if He wills that today we live, but tomorrow we die, tomorrow we will die. And who's to say what our Lord wills for us? As God said to the rich fool of Luke chapter 12, who felt secure in his wealth, Luke 12:20, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" And so our Lord may say to us this night that He requires our soul of us. And if He does, what will become of our vaunted, celebrated plans? What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We may devise plans for our future, But whether we live to carry out those plans and whether we profit by those plans is not ultimately up to us, but up to the Lord's providence. And by providence, I mean the Lord's holy, powerful, and wise control over all things. And verse 15 of our text makes that clear. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So when we devise plans for our future, and of course we all ought to plan, that's wise. Well, we ought to be humble when we plan. We ought to humbly acknowledge that we can do nothing apart from the Lord's will. Only if the Lord wills, will we live. Only if the Lord wills, will we do this or do that and make a profit. And by acknowledging our complete dependency on the Lord's providence, we also acknowledge the real possibility that the Lord may not will as we wish. That the Lord may not will for us to live beyond tomorrow. That the Lord may not will for our plans to succeed. And so when we acknowledge the Lord's providence, what does that do? It dismantles our self-confidence and self-sufficiency. When we acknowledge the Lord's providence, it transfers our confidence from ourselves to Him, to His power, and to His wisdom, and not our own. And that makes us humble. Scripture makes clear that the Lord's providence has to do with the precise span of our lives. As we read in verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, that's His providence, we will live. If the Lord wills, we will live. The Lord's providence determines our span of life. Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. In His providence, the Lord wills that we will live out the days formed for us, and no more. And we don't know how many days the Lord has formed for us. For all that we know, tomorrow may be the last day He has planned for us. And if it is, He will take us tomorrow by whatever method He pleases, whether it be by an accident, or by illness, or by violence, or by any other means. The Lord's providence determines our precise span of life. So we ought to qualify all of our plans for the future with this statement in verse 15. If the Lord wills, we will live. If the Lord wills, we will live. Scripture makes clear the Lord's providence in meeting our needs so that we may fill out the days He has set for us. Acts 14, 16-17. In past generations, He allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet He did not leave Himself without witness, for He did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Who gives fruitful seasons that puts the bounty of the earth on our tables? Who preserves the livestock from which we derive so much of what we eat each day? Who sustains the lives of countless people who are involved in all the stages of preparing and delivering food from the farm to our tables? Who upholds the intricacies of our ecological system that is responsible for maintaining our lives and life on earth? And the answer, the almighty power and wisdom of God. The almighty power and wisdom of God is behind it all. In fact, it's the almighty power and wisdom of God that sustains the life and the breath of all humankind, without which no person would live or breathe. As you read in Acts 17, 24 to 25, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. See, only if the Lord wills will we take our next breath. Only if the Lord wills will we wake up tomorrow breathing. If the Lord wills not, then our breath will fail. We will die. And then what will become of our confident plans? So again, as our text teaches us, we ought to qualify all of our plans for the future with the understanding that if the Lord wills, we will live tomorrow, next week, 6 months from now, 10 years from now. Scripture makes clear the Lord's providence in giving success to our plans. Our success is dependent on the Lord's providence. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Where does the victory come from? It comes from the Lord. Think back on Daniel, the Old Testament. Daniel wanted to keep himself and his friends from being defiled by the king's food. What did he do? He went to the official and made a request. And we read in Daniel chapter 1 that it was God who gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of that official. Daniel 1, 8 to 9. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Where did that favor and compassion come from? It came from God. The chief of the eunuchs showed favor and compassion towards Daniel because of God. How often do we owe the success of our plans to the favor and compassion of some important person, some important official? If we have found favor and compassion in the sight of that person, well, again, it's due to the Lord's providence. It is the Lord who has caused that person to look on us with favor and compassion. Scripture makes clear that if our plans succeed, it is owing to the Lord's providence. Psalm 75, 6 to 7. For not from the east or from the west, and not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. Every good thing we enjoy on this earth is owing to the Lord's providence. As you read earlier in this epistle of James, in chapter 1, if you look, remember, verse 16 to 17, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good gift, every perfect gift, our life, and every breath, is from God. How terrible then it is when his people fail to acknowledge His providence and act as if they are the master of their own fate. So we read in verse 16 of our text, "As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." In contrast to the humble attitude which acknowledges the Lord's providence, these people James addresses in our text were boasting in their arrogance. They were boasting about their plans for the future, how they would travel to such and such place and trade and rake in a profit. They were boasting about it as if the outcome of their plans were certain, with no regard for what the Lord wills. And to boast like this, as our text shows us, is sheer arrogance. It is to ignore the fact that our lives and our profit is owing to the Lord's will. And if we do that, well, what are we doing? Well, we're being thankless, ungodly, and proud. The unbelieving world receives the Lord's kindness in innumerable ways. But as we read in Scripture, they refuse to honor Him as God and give thanks to Him. And as a symptom of this sad fact, how often do we hear boasting? The unbelieving boasting as if God's gifts to them were simply their own doing. Brethren in Christ, we must not be like them. We must not be like them. Because we have enjoyed the merciful kindness of our Lord, His providence, to a far greater degree than anyone else in the world. In His providence, the Lord has not only provided for our earthly life, but also for our eternal life. In His providence, the Lord has shown us His rich mercy and raised us up out of spiritual death into spiritual life. So we read in Ephesians 2, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive." Who did that? It said God did it. "Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." There's God's providence for our salvation. In His providence, the Lord has shown us His rich mercy and raised us up out of spiritual death into spiritual life. And it's because God made us spiritually alive, we are able to respond to the gospel with faith. If not for His will to save us, as we know so well, we would have continued in a state of spiritual deadness. We'd have continued to be like everyone else, cold and unresponsive to the gospel's call to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of the providence of God that we have obtained eternal life through faith in Christ, our Lord and Savior. Unlike so many, God chose us for salvation in His Son and granted us the gift of spiritual life and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is the providence of God responsible for producing our faith in Christ, but is also responsible for sustaining our faith in Christ. As Jesus tells us in John 10, 27 to 29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. If it were possible for the devil to destroy true saving faith in Christ, well, then he would be able to snatch us out of the Lord's hand. But the devil, for all his schemes and adversity, cannot succeed in doing that. No one will snatch us out of Christ's hand, out of the Father's hand. We read elsewhere in Scripture that all who are born again are being guarded for salvation by God's power, 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 5, one more time. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. How is God's power guarding us for this salvation ready to be revealed in the last time? And the answer is by sustaining our faith. Who by God's power being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. By God's power, we are being guarded through faith for our everlasting glorification, salvation. God's power sustains our faith in Christ. That's God's providence as it relates to our eternal life. So if we acknowledge the providence of God for our eternal provision, and we're very zealous to do that, and we remember to do that whenever we have the opportunity, well, then we ought also to always acknowledge the providence of God for our temporary provisions. To fail to honor God's providence as it relates to our earthly blessings, our various earthly blessings, as our text makes clear, is sin. Verse 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. The right thing to do is to always acknowledge the Lord's providence in the midst of all our planning for the future. The right thing to do is to give thanks to the Lord for life, breath, and everything. Everything He has provided us. The right thing to do is to humbly acknowledge that only if the Lord wills, will we live. Tomorrow, in the weeks, in the months, in the years to come. The right thing to do is to humbly acknowledge that only if the Lord wills, will we not only live, but carry out our plans for the future and enjoy the success of those plans. Have we been forgetting to acknowledge the Lord's providence in regards to His innumerable blessings in our lives? Have we been forgetting to acknowledge the Lord's providence as far as our future plans are concerned? Well, the reproof of today's text is for us, because to do so is sin. And the right thing to do is to be humble always and acknowledge His providence. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with Your word, we pray that we, who have within us the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, who are sealed by the Holy Spirit on account of this great salvation that You have worked for us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that we will listen and obey Your word. Being not hearers only, but doers of the word. Because Your word has taught us in James 1 that if we do Your word, we'll be blessed in our doing. And Your word today teaches us what to do. The right thing to do is to always acknowledge Your providence in regards to our span of life and in regards to our future plans and our success. Our life comes from You. Our success comes from You. And may You alone receive all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.